Well, good afternoon, folks. Right after lunch. So, we don't have a lot of time together. I look around your faces, I see a lot of familiar friends. I hope what the Lord has given me to share with you will be helpful. I think because we just ate, even though we don't have much time, I'll sing one verse of a hymn. I think it's good to sing together. I've really enjoyed this morning's meeting, and I think it helps wake us up a little bit, too. So we're just not going to sing a lot of this hymn, but let's sing the first verse of 153. Whom have we, Lord, but Thee? Soul thirst to satisfy. Exhaustless spring, the water's free. All other streams are dry. Whom have we, Lord, but Thee? I would like to, with the Lord's help, spend a few minutes particularly talking to you young people, but as Bob said last night, 80 is the new young, right, Bob? So if you're consider yourself older, you can listen in too. And the subject that I would like to try to bring out and share with you a little bit is finishing well. Finishing well, I think all of us would like to be able to stand before the Lord and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think of what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. I'm just going to read a couple of verses before we take up a person in the Old Testament to draw from. 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy. This is probably his last time that he would communicate with Timothy. And he says this in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Brethren, I'm sure that every one of us wants to have a finish like that. Next verse is in 2 Peter chapter 1. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, you dear young people, I very sincerely and earnestly, I shouldn't say I want to say we. I know the many of the older ones in this room, particularly the assembly here in St. Louis, had this on their hearts, that you would be able to run the race and finish well. You know, we have a lot of people that in the scripture that started well. I would like to take up a person that started kind of poorly, but finished well. And now you kids, I'm mindful that sometimes illustrations are helpful. And Stephen, you mentioned this yesterday. I'm guilty, probably way more than you are, of too many stories. But I would like to tell you kids this. You know, we read this verse in 2 Peter about an entrance abundantly. And I grew up in Newfoundland, and One of the traditions there, in Newfoundland is a fishing province, and one of the traditions there is the first boat back to the harbor with a full load is the Highliner. And that boat is celebrated as there's an abundant entrance. And some of you that are Canadians will know what the ship is on the back of the Canadian dime. Who knows what that is? The Blue Nose. The Blue Nose, I like boats. I have often looked at models of the Blue Nose and thought, man, I'd like to make one of those. The Blue Nose was captained by a man named Captain Angus Walters. And the Blue Nose was built in Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, primarily for fishing. But also every year there was a race called the International Fisherman's Race from the Grand Banks of Newfoundland to Gloucester Harbor. And the Blue Nose, under that captain, was undefeated from 1921 to 1938. Except for one race, John, when they put too much wind on her and they broke the top mast off. So they gave him a pass. Anyway, picture, young people, all of these people on shore watching for these boats that are coming. And then they would see on the horizon the top of a mast, and it's coming, and they're all anxious to see. Is it going to be, which boat is it? Who's going to win? Who's going to be the Highliner? And in it would come, and then they would say, aha, it's Captain Angus. And he would win. And he would have this abundant entrance into the harbor. Well, I told you that story because that is the way our hearts are for you. That we see you at these conferences, at young people's camps, at various places, and how much we long to see you growing in your Christian pathway and growing in your faith and maturing and becoming more and more. I think one of the words that's used to describe maturity is perfect, not in a sinless perfection, but a more and more maturity. And we long for you all, especially you young people, to finish well. So that's what I want to take up. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Just to give a little bit of history here. We all know that Saul was king over Israel and that David was anointed by Samuel to be the king, and Saul wanted his son Jonathan to be the king. And there was great animosity between Saul and David, and Saul was hunting him like a partridge and he wanted to kill him. But Jonathan's heart was knit with David's. And I find that very beautiful. Jonathan was a young man that had a good start. And you see him coming to David, and he strips himself of the robe that was on him and the sword and the bow and all that. He didn't give him his shoes, though, which is sad. And over time, Jonathan had to make some choices about walking in rejection with David. And David is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And they met together a few times, but then it says Jonathan went back home. First time it says he went into the city. The second time he said he went back to his home. And it was those attractions of life and his family that held him back from taking rejection with David. Well, Jonathan had a son. I'd like to introduce you to him. 2 Samuel 4. Verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth came to my heart a couple weeks ago, John, after you spoke on being at table with the Lord, and I appreciated what you brought out. And I thought over the last couple weeks a lot about Mephibosheth. Here is this young boy. He's Jonathan's son. I don't know if David ever met Mephibosheth before. Maybe he knew about him. And the news comes, the sad news, out of the valley of Jezreel, there at the mountains of Gilboa. The battle is on. The Philistines have won. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. And here's this five-year-old boy. And his nurse gets that news. And she makes some assumptions about what David's heart was going to be. And that was, Saul tried to kill him. And now David is going to get his chance and he's going to get back at him. We got to take this kid and run. And she picked him up and she began to flee. And she dropped him, or he fell and broke his legs, and he's lame. And that's how we meet young Mephibosheth. Not a very good start, is it? Now, let's turn over to a beautiful chapter, chapter 9. I'm going to read some of this. I got to be careful about the time here. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." Well, I find this beautiful, that the heart of David was nowhere near like Mephibosheth's nurse had expected it would be. And some time goes by. I don't know exactly how many years, but we know Mephibosheth was 5 when he was injured. And I think maybe he was in his early 20s at this time, I would say. We do know he had a son. And the heart of David goes out, and he remembers his friend Jonathan. And he says, "Is there any yet of the house of Saul that I may show kindness?" Young people, God is for you, not against you. This family expected that David would be against them. And so they're fleeing from his presence. So get away from this guy. There's never anything good going to happen to the house of Saul from David. They were wrong. And young people, don't allow the enemy of your soul to tell you God doesn't care for you and God is against you. Now, God might be against our ways if we're living in a wicked manner, But God is for you in all that he is. And he wants to show you the kindness of God. Let's turn over to Titus 3 to get that. It's spelled out very clearly, the kindness of God. Timothy, Titus, chapter 3. I think we'll read from verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, we could spend a lot of time in that passage, but young people, the kindness of God provided the Lord Jesus to come into this world and to pay the penalty of our sins that we couldn't pay ourselves. And now God wants, the Lord Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants a friendship. His kindness is for you. And I love how David could say that. You know, you would expect him to say, is there any left of the house of Saul? Because now that I got other things in order, I'm really going to exact revenge now. No, brethren, it's not that way. The kindness of God. But here he is lame on his feet, and he's a long way off. So I'm not as confident in the meaning of the name, so I'm not going to try to get into what maker or Emil means, but I'm told that Lodibar means no pasture. Here's Mephibosheth living far away from Jerusalem, as far away as he could get, really, in a place of no pasture. And here he is, basically in hiding, hoping that he never hears from the family of David. But the word goes out. Where is he? Bring him to me. Some of you young people may be in assemblies where you feel like it's difficult. Maybe you feel like you're in a place of no pasture in your own personal walk with the Lord. The Lord wants to bring you into blessing. He doesn't want to leave you there. And so David calls Mephibosheth up out of that. And he sent and fetched him in verse 5. You know, I think that the Mephibosheth, when he got the messenger came to call him, he probably thought, David? Uh-oh, this is not going to be good. Reminds me of Psalm 139 when it says, whither shall I flee from thy presence? Young people, you can't get away from the Lord. The Lord sees you where you're at, and he wants to bring you into blessing. And so Mephibosheth is brought to David, and he's standing there, and he does him reverence. You know, he didn't do that before. I doubt that Mephibosheth was at the coronation of the king. I doubt that he was waving palm branches and shouting, God save the king. I don't think so. I think he was like, David and me, we're going to keep our distance. But now here he is on his face doing reverence. What a place to be. Young people, I want to encourage you, do that. Get before the Lord and give him reverence. Now, just because we don't have much time, I have to keep moving on this. They go through, and David basically tells them, you're going to be one of my sons. And he commands Ziba to be in control of all the land that Saul had and to produce food. And he had all these sons and all these servants. But this is what I love about Mephibosheth. He says in verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, saith the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And that's what happened for quite a few years. And I picture that sweet restoration in that time of fellowship together. Here's Mephibosheth. He's sitting there, and he's as one of the king's sons. And what a place of blessing. Young people, that's where the Lord wants to put you to. Well, problems came into David's family, as we know. And so let's turn over to chapter 16. And we'll read a verse or two here. So we know that Absalom rose up in insurrection, and David had to flee for his life and get out. And as they're going out, this is 16 verse 1, when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what meanest thou by these? Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on. The bread and the summer fruit are for the young man to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, I love this question, where is thy master's son? David wanted to know where his friend Mephibosheth was at. Ziba said to the king, this was a slanderous lie. Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. And David was deceived by that. Ziba brought this gift. David said, hey, where's Mephibosheth at? He goes, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, David, but he is one of the main conspirators, and he's ready to stick a sharp stick in your eye. But that wasn't true, brethren. But that's what Ziba told him. And the king was deceived by that, and he said to Ziba, the king said to Ziba, behold, nine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Well, that's a sad thing that happened. Now let's turn over to chapter 19, for this is the finish that I wanted to get to. David now is returning to Jerusalem. Absalom has been put down. The rebellion has been put down. David's returning as the rightful king. So let's read from this is chapter 19, 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed unto the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, O Lord, my Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of these matters, these thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Well, I don't know exactly how long David was running from Absalom, but here he comes back, and Mephibosheth meets him. He hadn't shaved. He hadn't washed his face, his clothes. He was basically in mourning the whole time. And it turns out, I take from this passage, brethren, that it was Mephibosheth that wanted to get the donkeys around and get the food prepared. And Ziba just left him. says, well, I'm just going to go take matters into my own hands. Told the king, hey, Mephibosheth, he's gone. But I'm not. I'm the man. No, brethren, the heart of Mephibosheth was knit with David. And the whole time he was gone, he was devoted to him. Are our hearts like that? That's the closeness that the Lord Jesus wants to have with you, dear young people. That devotion when he's in rejection that we are too. And, Mephibosheth has the chance to explain the situation. I think David probably felt bad about what happened. And maybe he says, man, I already told Ziba he could have the land. And I love Mephibosheth's answer. He goes, let him have it all. I don't want it. I just want you. I want to be with you. I want to be for you. I want to be at your table. And I don't care about all that stuff. And that, young people, is the kind of finish that we want for you. That there is absolute devotion and attachment to the Lord Jesus, that all the distractions of this world that would just fall aside and say, career, money, fame, power, success, all the things that the devil would hold out and say, strive for this, go for that, to say, no, Lord, I just want you. That's it. No more, no less. And here, Mephibosheth, lame on his feet. What could he do? He could pour his heart into the heart of David. And I find that to be a beautiful finish to Mephibosheth's life. A very tough start. But what a great way that God brought him into blessing. You know, we could bring the gospel into Mephibosheth's story very beautifully, and it has been done many times. But for now, this afternoon, dear young people, be zealous for the Lord's affection for you. Desire that. You know, Mephibosheth didn't know the heart of David until it was demonstrated to him. The kindness of God for you, dear young person, today in whatever circumstance you're in, whatever your family history is, whatever your assembly experience has been, the Lord is for you. He wants to bring kindness and blessing. Allow him to do that. Sit at his table like one of the king's sons. That connection, Stephen, you were speaking of that linkage yesterday. You know, it wasn't enough for Mephibosheth to say, hey, I understand that David likes me. He probably likes me because he was friends with my dad, but I don't have any relationship with him. Nope. Here he is, sitting there continually as one of the king's sons. What a place of fellowship and blessing. And that is what we want for you, dear young people, to, on your last day, that could be today, when you enter eternity, either you die or the Lord comes, that he would be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what our heart is for you. I think we'll stop with that. There's a lot more that could be brought out of the story of Mephibosheth. Maybe I'll just quote from Revelation chapter 2. I better not quote it. Let's turn to what Revelation 2 verse 10. Speaking of being faithful unto death and receiving a crown of life. Revelation 2 verse 10 at the end. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You want that affirmation from the Lord, dear young person? That look that he would give you when you step into his presence to say, my son, my daughter, my friend, I've been waiting for you. Walk every day with him, dear young people. It's worth doing. Finish well. Doesn't matter if you started badly. It's how you finish that matters. I think it would be nice to sing something else. Let's sing number 23 together. This is a short hymn, but it's very precious. Number 23. How good.